Okay. Yes, I agree that consistency is a positive thing. It's something I strive for, specifically in my creative life. But a few thoughts have been coming to mind lately and that I want to share with you that I don't have completely figured out. But it's making me wonder if there is a connection between consistency and comfort and the possibility that those two things in too much of a dose might be a sign that it's time for you to move forward onto something else in life. I don't know where the hell you are right now. I don't know. This is what I mean. This will make sense in a second, or maybe it won't. I don't know. Okay. I'm inside my desk in my studio, a box within a box. No, I'm at home alone. Sarah is at a work happy hour right now. I've got a couple hours. I'm going to meet up with a few friends. My buddy Andre Rodriguez, it's his birthday today. It's not his birthday today. It's his birthday Saturday. And we're going to go grab drinks later tonight. But I'm sitting here and in front of me, so forgive me if I'm reading weird or whatever in a second, but I'm on my desktop are 5 different note cards right here where I've written down a few thoughts. And I wrote these down this morning because have you ever like stumbled on a bunch of ideas from different areas and all of a sudden just in a moment, like I was doing dishes today, listening to a podcast, and 5 different thoughts that were seemingly unconnected all came together in one moment. I found myself thinking, man, I think there might be something here, but I haven't totally sanded down the edges. I should, like, if I wanted to do that, I would write like a first draft of something, but this isn't a freaking essay. I want to present you with an idea here, but let me back up. Last night, maybe I'll even back up further than last night. I've this past couple weeks, I've actually been pretty shit at my discipline with screen time. I don't know what it is. I go in waves. So there's like a week I'm really great. I'm really disciplined. I'm really disciplined. If I'm spending time on social media, I'm being intentional that I'm either sharing or connecting with other people. I know that's a stupid mode in my mind. Like create, don't consume. It's kind of my create and connect. If I'm doing those two things, if that's the use of social media for me, then I'm in a positive headspace. But if I'm spending too much time consuming, it just tweaks me out in so many different ways. And I've kind of had a shit week in discipline with that. So I'm in the curve today. I'm curving it out. I'm taking a little break from it. But I say that because last night I'm laying in bed and I'm freaking doom scrolling and it's stupid. But somehow I stumble on this reel that was a clip from, what movie is it? Here's my note card for it. By the way, this is a 3x5 note card and I've got a typewriter here. So I'll throw notes in my phone, dictate them, a quote that I hear, and then usually I'll come back in here. If you're interested in the behind the scenes and I type them up, each one gets a 3x5 card and then I file it away at another time. So, this reel pops up and it is a clip from that movie Burnt, where Bradley Cooper is a chef character in a restaurant. He's kind of, it's that movie. And there's a scene in it where he is meeting up with a colleague. And the scene opens up and she walks in and she says, "I can't believe you're having me meet you at Burger King." He goes, "What's the matter with Burger King?" And they have this whole thing. And everything she says about Burger King, he's like, "Oh, that's not," he like kind of throws it away with his own thing. And at the very end, he says, "What you should have said is wrong with Burger King is that it's too consistent and consistency is death." And hearing that word consistency in a negative context just pricked my ears I don't know if I've ever said that phrase before. That was weird. It caught my attention. There's a freaking normal human thing to say. It caught my attention because hearing it in a negative way was interesting because for years for me, I have viewed consistency as an only positive thing. Whether it, let's okay, like all my besides like personal being a consistent person in my life, let's talk about like this is kind of in the context of making things, right? So for me, whether it is developing film, I want to be as consistent in all the factors of my developing film so that I can have a replication of the process that I can trust so that I can experiment when shooting and know that when I'm developing, I'm going to have the same product. I want to make sure that my dilution of developer to water is the same ratio every time. I want to make sure the temperature is the same. My agitation during development and the length of development, I want to make sure all those factors are the same because it's replicatable. And it's the same with bass playing too. Like I want to make sure that when I'm playing, my notes with my right hand are consistent in volume from note to note, that they are consistent in length if that's what I'm going for, because no one wants to freaking hire a bass player that every other note is a different level. And then you're having to freaking pick that apart. It's bouncing around in the mix if you're playing live. You got to repair it if you're recording. Consistency is always positive for me. So I'm like, holy crap, okay, this is interesting. And for some reason, because it was connected with the chef world, this clip that I wrote down the quote to, I remembered a quote that I heard from Anthony Bourdain, and it was in his original television show called The Cook's Tour in season one, episode 7. It's the Portugal episode. He says, he's talking about he's at a restaurant or like a home restaurant in Portugal, and they serve double starch, which is, I think it was like potatoes and rice in a dish, something that you're not technically supposed to do. That's like a faux pas in chefdom. And he says, it's a thing where at the Culinary Institute of America, certain things are drilled into you that you must do it this way. I guess I found out that 75 to 90% of those precepts are absolutely wrong. I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about school. I'm thinking about how, man, I literally paid for college to learn how to be a consistent musician. I'm thinking about growing up, the consistency in your grades and your studies. We are all trained. And I think that's because our school system, I'm not going to dive into my thoughts on the fact that our current school system is left over from the industrial era where we're all made to be consistent factory workers in the sense. But fast forward to this morning, I'm doing dishes and I was listening to a podcast. I was listening to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend and Kristen Wiig was on. Before I tell you the quote that Kristen Wiig said in her situation, let me give it a little context. I have gotten reached out to a ton as a musician who has played larger shows. I've gotten reached out to a ton by other musicians asking for any insight or advice that I have when it comes to stage fright or nerves performing. And one of the things I always talk about is, first of all, it never fully goes away. Sometimes it's just inexplicable. There's things you can do. There's physical actions that you can take to minimize your physical response to it and calm yourself. And I talk about preparation. But one of the things that often isn't talked about is comfortability is the key killer, I think. Man, I'm using too many words with the same syllable start. Comfortability is a key killer to anxiety, I think. It is by repetition and being comfortable on stage that if you deal with stage fright, it doesn't mean it's going to go away, but that the bigger shows you get more comfortable with them, with that level of just being in it. So in my mind, I've realized that consistency in the action of playing in front of people leads to comfort. Yeah. And I think it's, man, even I'm saying this out loud, I'm realizing, okay, comfort is, like, if you're going to be consistent at something, you need to be comfortable within it. So there is this obvious connection to it. So in this conversation I was listening between Conan and Kristen Wiig, she mentions that she dealt with a ton of nerves when she was on SNL. And he was like, man, it's so good to hear that you, someone that is just amazingly talented and brilliant at what you do, still was nervous on SNL. And she goes, the moment, she was talking about how she showed up and she first started feeling nervous. And she said that the moment I feel totally comfortable at SNL is when I have to go, because I feel there's something about the energy of that place and what you need to produce and how you always need to be people watching on that Saturday you're off, standing side stage. I don't know. There's something about that place that you need to be a little uncomfortable. So then Conan replies by going on talking about that analogy that an oyster needs a little bit of sand to make a pearl, and the making of a pearl is an uncomfortable thing. And he says, I just think many times in life I've been uncomfortable and nervous and something really good came out of it. But so many people have said throughout the years that if you are doing something, if you're making something, if you're on a path and you are comfortable and you are certain about it, oftentimes that might be a sign that you're on somebody else's path, following something else that someone has paved the way for, and you might possibly need to move on. If you're uncomfortable and you're not quite sure, I think that was Jack White that was talking about, maybe that was him. He was like, if you're uncomfortable and you're not quite sure what you're doing, and if you're a little bit nervous, it might be a sign that you're in the right place in life where you're at right now. Now, again, I haven't rounded out the point to all this, but maybe I'll just leave you with it. I just want to throw this on the palette of your mind and the things that you're thinking about today. And I'll leave you with this. I wrote a couple thoughts on consistency, what this made me think of. And I'm just going to throw them out there to you and see what you think about it. And if you have any thoughts on this, send them my way in all the usual ways. And the thoughts are, when it comes to consistency, one is that maybe the problem with consistency is that it's a departure from curiosity, or it's even a departure from exploration. If you're just trying to replicate, you're no longer... Why am I repeating that? I think that's kind of self-explanatory. I think that's an interesting thought. One of the problems with consistency might be that it sacrifices discovery, questioning, listening, creativity, tasting, all for the sake of replication. What else do I have here? The purpose. Maybe the purpose of consistency is that it satisfies expectation of replication. So as a professional, like, that's kind of falls into the benefit of what people expect of me as a bass player when I'm showing up. I was going to put a button ending on this, but instead, Sarah's doing her hair. And so I can corner her.
I'm doing one of two things when you corner me. I'm either doing my hair or cooking, both in a very vulnerable trap state. Continue.
I just took a bite of apple. All right.
You want people to know that you eat healthy vegetables.
I don't want to brag, but, you know, I eat pretty healthy. I don't. All right.
No, you do. Anyway, back to the thought.
Consistency. How can it be detrimental? Yes, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Yes, consistency is good. We want to be consistent, all that crap. Give me... End this freaking podcast.
Well, I have not listened to it, but when I... but when you proposed that to me moments ago, I was just saying that if everyone was consistent all the time in everything, whatever, we wouldn't have advancements in science or art. Like, you have to be willing to break the rules or do something different, do something wrong, not do something, all of those kind of other variables that you might define as inconsistencies are what propels the universe forward, literally, I think.
Dude, I love that. I actually wasn't even thinking about the consistency with past, quote, like how things have been done before.
Right.
This is how we do things.
Yeah.
That kind of ties into somehow how I'm thinking about this podcast sometimes. It's so freaking hard. What's your podcast? I don't know. It's so cheesy nowadays. Everybody, there's so many just unfocused, just, let's talk about anything podcasts out there.
Yeah.
So I get a little insecure with people like, what's your podcast about? And it's like, well, curious life. What does that mean? I think when you said that in my mind, I'm going, oh, that's the core of all things. Like, your shit that you get to do on Earth right now, this is your freaking shot. This is like your chance, your time, and it's going to go by really fast. To get stuck in the this is just how we do things.
Yeah.
You don't have time for that shit.
I like that. As Eminem would say, You only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to go. This is the opportunity of a lifetime.
Rob Morgan is an internationally touring bassist on a journey to discover what it means to live a curious life. At thecuriouspod.com, you'll find an archive of conversations recorded all over the world, a map of recording locations, a weekly newsletter, and official podcast merchandise. Rob is recording a daily podcast where he's sharing insights into the creative journey and the secrets to living a curious life that he's discovered from over a decade of traveling the world with music. We here at Curious Endeavors have told him this is probably a mistake and he's an idiot to attempt it, but he won't budge, so that's where we're currently at. We hope you'll enjoy.